Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers in Jesus' name. All right. Who's got a prayer? I thank you, Lord, that we, every one of us, have the mind of Christ. And Lord, I thank you that these little incidents are not going to harm anything. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
Sometimes I go out for a walk and I start thinking about the other people and I go, what's wrong with that one? And I shouldn't have that mindset when I'm looking at other people. So I've already asked the Lord for that, and I just want to have people that agree with me on that. Father God, I pray that I wouldn't look at people and prejudge them or try to figure out what's wrong with them without speaking to any of them. So I just pray, Lord, that I wouldn't have my heart hardened to these kind of things. And I just pray, Lord, that you would, in these times, Lord, we don't want our love to wax cold for the lost. And I pray, Father, that I wouldn't think that way. I would just know how to think according to what you would have me think of other people who need salvation in the new covenant. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you all.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank
Glory
you,
be to
Lord.
God. Whoa. Oh, I had a little reverb there. All right. Anyone else want to pray? It's a lot going on for us not to be praying. Thank you, Jesus. I heard. Well, I'll throw this at you when Julie gets through. All right,
Go
Julie,
ahead
go
and say
ahead.
what you heard.
Well, what I was going to say was this. I just got through watching a video with Trump saying that he's going to forbid Muslims to come, any more Muslims to come into this country. He's going to forbid them to come in because of all the things that they have created, all the chaos and all of the rapings and murders and all of the things that they've done. He said he's shutting it down. So I hope that's true. I hope that's not a what you call it. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just praise you and thank you for shutting the door on all of the outlaw Muslims. They are not, they are a religion of murder, rape, pedophilia, perversion, all of that, Lord. And I thank you for doing that, Father, in the name of Jesus. Okay, go ahead, Julie.
Miss Sue, do you have something to add to that prayer?
Well, what popped into my head is
Oh my.
that's going to stir up a hornet's nest. Any Muslims that are already in here.
We can get
So
them
did
out
you
too.
see, what's that?
We can get them out too.
Yeah. Well, then you start coming to
Look at the
that's
positive side of it. Look at the positive side of it.
I mean, in the natural, but Lord, we just praise and thank you. We just forbid that to cause any problems in the name of
Amen.
Jesus. We bind up all
Amen.
spirits of retaliation and murder and anything that would be done in retaliation for President Trump, forbidding any more Muslims to come into the country. And Lord, and any Muslims that are here, Lord, if they don't want to repent and believe in the Lord, cause them to want to leave in Jesus' name.
Amen.
In
Thank you,
Jesus' name.
Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Okay, Julie.
I just want to pray for
Well, things that have happened here recently, you know what happened yesterday with the assassination on Charlie Kirk and all the hate that's being freely exhibited with what apparently is like no accountability, making, you know, anyhow, with his father, I just looked up the people who are very unwise and ignorant and who have been brainwashed by socialism, by the leftists, by their agenda. And Lord, I pray for your mercy on them. Father, I ask that you forgive them for the things that they are saying and how they're finding this to be humorous, and that it was deserved, and all the terrible things that they are saying. And your word has something to say a lot about that, Lord, and it's not good. And I have to find it here. I had to look it up last night. This is on my other device. Alone. You know, God won't be mocked, and all that was coming to my mind. But there's also scripture about let's see. Proverbs 24:17, where it says, "Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not my thy heart be glad when he is overthrown." And the other one that was coming to my mind was, "Whosoever mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker, and he that is glad at calamity will not be unpunished." And Lord, you are sovereign over your word. And we pray for your mercy, God, because these people are doing so much evil with their mouths. And they're doing it in ignorance, and they're doing it because they're being moved by demonic spirits that have been just entered into them through, you know, their strong-willed opinions and their self-righteousness and all these things. But we know that you're not going to be mocked. And you know, Charlie Kirk stood for righteousness and justice and fairness and truth. And we know that his death, you're going to avenge it in the way you do, in the way, you know, that you find you deem perfect in all the ways you do things, Lord. And we do pray for your mercy on those. And you would use all this, that there would be a great outcry of repentance and remorse for the way they've been behaving, because you're going to grant repentance to some of these people, just believing, Lord, that they're yours. That this will be a testimony of your goodness, and that there will be dreams and visions and warnings and all kinds of things that will come about from this, and that these people who are doing these things, that the people who are out there in the media who are speaking on behalf of Charlie and his family and these things, that they, Lord, by your grace, that they're able to turn the other cheek and love those who are persecuting them right now, who have done this evil, because we see it in your word. And it's one thing to say it and to read it, is another to walk it. And I pray for your grace and strength and courage to boldly even make those kinds of statements, that we forgive them for what they do, because they don't know what they do. In Jesus' name, I pray these things. Amen.
Amen. I've never seen such hateful rhetoric that I've seen since Charlie's got shot. Go ahead, Anna.
I wanted to pray too, Lord, that you would raise up more and more people with the greater anointing than Charlie had, with more knowledge and more wisdom, Lord. He was like Stephen, and he couldn't be refuted. And Lord, I pray that this would embolden many people. And Lord, that you would raise up who you want, that people wouldn't just be stepping out there in their own self and pride and stuff, Lord, but that you would raise up people, especially those who had the gift and the heart like Charlie had for the young people, Lord, that the young people would continue to be reached, that there'd be many, many Charlies raised up, Lord, of your people. Maybe he who even know more truth than Charlie knew, Lord, who can not just preach politics, but preach more of the true word that sets free. And I just thank you, Lord, for continuing to reach the people, Lord. I pray that this backfires completely in the devil's face, and that many people who never heard of Charlie or who didn't know the truth of what he spoke, they'd only maybe heard bad things about him, that they would go and his words would just go on and on and on and on and reach the young people, Lord, that there'd be a huge revival of the hearts of the youth out of this, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And I just thank you, Lord, that you're good and you do all things good, and for just bringing revival in this time, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. What generation are we in now? I thought we went through Z. What comes after
The
Z?
last, we're in the last generation. We're in the last.
My kids are what they call Generation A, but pretty much they're not really a raised up generation yet, so we're at the end.
Oh, they're going to call them, hey, they're going to start over, huh?
They call them Alpha.
Alpha. Okay. All right,
That's
Lord,
kind
we
of
thank you for
ironic.
answering that prayer right there, that you'd raise up other people with better communication skills. Of course, he had excellent communication skills and Lord, great knowledge about the Lord. Thank you, Father. Yeah, it probably is the last one too. I don't doubt that. Anyone else want to pray? Yeah, Pat.
Father, just kind of just dawned on me that in one sense our leaders, Charlie Kirk being a leader of his of the people that he pulled together, and he pulled together a tremendous following of young people. But as I'm thinking about that, you know, the devil wants to, he wants to strike fear in our hearts so that we cower down and knuckle under to the pressure of fear, so that we become passive and not speak out and not stand for the truth, which really brings to mind what you said when you said, I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Go, therefore. And Lord, you died on the cross. You stood as the authority. You stood as the leader. And you died on the cross. And the result of that is that you raised up a multitude of people out there, a flood of people that have the ability to stand in your truth, in your word, and filled with the Holy Spirit. And a sniper might find it very easy to pick off an individual, but he's going to struggle a little bit to pick off a nation of people that rise up. And I thank you that you are doing exactly that through this process, Lord, and that you are pouring out your spirit now, even in the lives of others that are not even thinking of Christianity, thinking of Christ, that you're starting to draw the line of demarcation between darkness and light. And if a person is unable to grasp the expanse, the flood of hatred that is being unleashed on the world today, and that hatred, starting with a judgmental, critical attitude. And devolving into a hatred of of people or a sect or whatever thing that one has to do to justify that anger. And that anger, the end result of, is what we've seen a day ago in the murder. The expression of killing, and look at what has happened in our nation, Lord. And now you have a people that are so engulfed and embraced in that spirit of hatred that they are rejoicing in that murder. And Lord, it just breaks my heart. But as you showed me today, that it isn't a separate spirit. It isn't an individual spirit that that person or anybody that holds anger, resentment, bitterness in their heart is not a different spirit. It is the one spirit of fear in the world today. And that spirit was the same spirit that crucified you. That same spirit of hatred, of a threatened hatred that strikes out at righteousness and demonizes those that are simply speaking truth in order to feel protected, in order to feel that they are right and righteous. And it's that same spirit of hatred didn't change, didn't leave the planet. It's still here. And it's covering our globe. It's being passed on through the emissaries of fear. And the media is propagating it is being supported by all kinds of demons. But it's still the same bidding of fear and anger and hatred that was released upon you. So I thank you, Lord. I'm asking you that you would send a fresh anointing upon your word, upon your truth, upon all of us that need to be standing up and speaking forth your word. Rise up as a nation. Raise us up, Lord. Raise us up as a nation, the nation that we are, to stand in the face of this demonic oppression. And take it down by the truth of your word, as you have given us proof in a multitude of areas in the scripture, that when the enemy comes in like a flood, you ran raise up a standard against them, and you don't need billions of people. You need your number of people to stand up and to allow you to walk and talk and speak and cast out demons and heal the sick and raise the dead and love those that hate us. And so, Lord, I'm asking you that you would just pour out your spirit upon us and do that which pleases you and raise up that standard in us that you might be comfortable to walk and to dwell and to talk and to interact with us and all those that we meet, that we may be your voice in this hurting, painful world. And Lord, I still take small solace in the fact that the majority of these people that are engulfed in this hatred and in this deception, this spirit of hate, are just plainly deceived and are not aware of it. They're not aware of their own place, just like an alcoholic can't believe, they can't understand, they can't believe that they are addicted, they are being controlled by something outside their control. And Lord, this hatred is the modern day opiate that engulfs and captivates people and makes people's mind numb. But you have a better way. You have a better way. You have a life of love that you have given us, a love of mercy and forgiveness, but one that stands for truth, stands in the face of opposition, and opens our arms to receive those that need healing, that desire your love. And so, Lord, we just continue to pour out our hearts for you. We pray for the Kirk family and all their friends, their family, their associates. And just pour out your spirit, Lord, and raise up your spirit of hope within his followers. Turn their eyes upon Jesus. Let it be known widely that the only source of life and peace and truth and harmony is in your life, that you've freely given us and paid for it with your own blood. And we thank you for it. We thank you for it. And we just bless you. We thank you that you are doing great, great things in us and in your people and raising up that standard. And we praise you and thank you, Lord. Bring back a mighty following and love for your word and fear of the Lord in this land, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Let's go to war. Y'all ready to go to war? In the name of Jesus, right now, we command the angels to go out there and expose all the satanic cults that are coming against God's people and the conservatives in this country right now, in the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for disrupting, exposing, and capturing all of the leftists. And Lord, we thank you that you have already found this guy that has shot Charlie Kirk. And Lord, we thank you that he has turned over, and we praise you for it. And we thank you, Lord, for a complete victory this day. And Father God, we thank you for exposing all the satanic cults, the pedophiles, raping, human trafficking, and all of that garbage in this country and in other countries all over the world, in Jesus' mighty name. And we praise you, Father, that they're going to do away with these people as soon as they get them, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for cleansing power across this nation, in Jesus' name, that no other, I don't know what you call Charlie other than a, what would you call him? Communicator. That's communicating your message with the conservative message also, Lord. And we thank you for it, Father. Expose the murderers, expose the rapists, expose all of these evil people in it that have been brought into this country by the left. And we praise you and thank you for exposing everything that the left has done to this country in Jesus' name, and that no one would want to have any part to do with them in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you for that separation in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. It is done, and I believe it. Y'all believe it? Glory to God, it's done. And Lord, we thank you that if it's in your heart to save them, we ask that you do that also, Lord. Give them a chance to come into the kingdom in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. I have seen too much hatred today, and I'm tired of it. Anybody else tired of it? It's atrocious. That's what these people are doing and saying against Charlie. All right, y'all ready to hear some good war music? Good fire filling music. I got one. You can play yours after mine. Okay.
There's a thunder rolling deep inside, like a river that won't be denied. When I call on the name of the Holy One, chains fall down and fear is gone.
How many of them want to dance through the midnight storm with the Holy Ghost? Glory to God, I do too. Go ahead, Share yours, Julie. I had another one start then. Another good one. You got it. Make sure it's on full screen too. And we get the full effect of it. Glory to God. Oh, yeah.
Spirit will rise. You deserve.
He's the one we call. All right. What's wrong with Will's dog?
Oh, you didn't read the.
I didn't see it.
Let me read it in Signal. Said, "Hi everyone, my dog has been very, very sick the past week. Please pray with me for his healing. I have no idea what happened to him. He walked into the house with a broken tooth, then became very ill every day after that. I pulled the broken tooth out, but he became deathly sick. I've been praising the Lord for his healing and full restoration."
Okay. Let's pray. In the name of Jesus, we command this spirit of infirmity off of that dog. If it's a snake bite, I command him to be healed. And whatever it is, makes no difference. In the name of Jesus, be healed, dog. Glory be to God. We thank you, Father, for doing that for Will. He needs his dog. Every farmer needs his dog. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you for doing that for William and Louise. In Jesus' name. Dog, you be healed in Jesus' name. We don't take nothing else but complete restoration of that dog, ever what his name is. Okay, anyone else? How many of you know the enemy's already defeated? He's already defeated. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We don't have to worry about nothing. Praise God, because God is our protector. My, we got Psalms 91. You got Psalms 91. You got everything you need. Glory to God. Yeah, Julie, go ahead. I just feel like getting on a soapbox.
Amen. You do it well, Michael. What was I going to say? Oh, just amen to all your prayers. Praise God. I have a prayer request. You guys are just all, we all agree with me. And I know this is probably all happening in your probably your neighborhoods too, because Halloween's coming. So there's a in this strip mall here where near where I live, I noticed the other day that one of the vacant one of the vacant spaces now is gearing up for Halloween, and it's called Spirit Store. That's the name of the store, Spirit Store. So they're hiring right now and getting ready for Halloween because they have all this posters and stuff on the windows, blocking what's going on inside there. So Father, I just thank you, God, for your grace and your mercy, and I thank you that you've given us your authority and your name to come against and bind up all the works of darkness. And we have authority over all that. And we know what Halloween's all about. And we come against the spirit of Halloween, Satanism, honoring and glorifying death, and all that Halloween stands for. We bind up these powers and principalities in our neighborhoods, Lord, that would want to come in and sell all this merchandise and promote this evil holiday and all that it entails. I command failure to this store. I command that they don't get enough help to work there. I command just that this business and this opening would not even come and start on time for all kinds of reasons. Lord, you can delay their supplies. You can delay, have problems with the lease, have problems with their employees. There's all manner of, you're unlimited, but I just command failure to opening up the store, and that it will not be here in my neighborhood long whatsoever. And that also that you protect your people, and that they would have wisdom and discernment about this holiday and what it's about, what it's really about, and protect people from going in there and checking it out and buying any kind of Halloween costuming, and not just this store, but anything, globally. How they merchandise this holiday, and they glorify Satan where he doesn't deserve it, Lord, and we know that, and we command failure to all of Satan's plans. for Halloween and all that that means. Lord, I pray your protection, that the children will be protected. They will not be stolen in any way, shape, or form, and trafficked in any way, shape, and form. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord, for bringing down this evil wickedness and protecting the innocent lives of people that they think is a harmless Halloween by dressing up the way they do and celebrating it. And we just command failure to all of that and the sacrifices and all that goes on. In Jesus' name, anyone else wants to pray about that kind of thing, please do. Amen.
Amen. There's something like this is back in 2010, $8 billion spent on Halloween in this country. Yep, we come against that store opening up in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, that for whatever reason it's going to be shut down because you're going to shut it down and keep it out of that neighborhood in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just come against Halloween. It's just not a good, it's not a good holiday. Thank you, Father, for glorifying Satan. All right, anyone else? All right, has anybody got something they'd like to talk about? There is a verse. Let me see here. I had a... I'm just waiting to see if somebody else has got something. Anybody got anything they'd like to converse about? Go ahead, Ben. Okay. All right. Okay, Romans 12 and 2. Be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Somebody tell me how to renew my mind. I don't say read the Bible. Oh boy, this is going to be a long one. Renewing your mind. Be not fashioned according to this world. That's one thing right there. That's a good way to start right there. But be ye transformed. What does that word mean? Somebody look it up. Anybody know what that word transform means? By the re Yeah, go ahead, Pat. I know what it means, but I'm gonna let y'all do it so we can break this down.
I don't have the verse in front of me, but does that is that the Greek word like for metamorphosis?
Yep.
Yeah, I so I probably should look that up. What verse are you did you say?
Romans 12, verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2. I'm sorry, I thought I gave it. But be ye not fashioned according to this world. So, okay, there's one thing right there, isn't it? But be ye transformed changed, metamorphosed, turned into by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. Well, how in the world are we going to do that? Anybody know how your brain works? Okay, I'm glad somebody remembers.
Can you repeat that question?
Does anybody know how your brain works? I remember as a kid them telling us on TV that whatever brain cells you were born with, that's all you got. And if you fry them, that's it. You don't have any more. But over the years, they found that that's not true. Over the years, they have found that your cells regenerate overnight. And I said that for a reason. Go ahead, y'all. Somebody tell me. Go ahead, Judy.
Well, I was thinking when you said don't read the Bible, that's not the answer. I was like, well, that is
No,
the
I didn't
answer.
say that. I said, I don't want to hear just read the Bible. That's just too
No, it's
simple an
not.
answer.
So that's not just read the Bible, but you do have to read the Bible to learn and understand what God says about Him, His kingdom, how to live your life, how to know what his will is. You have to read and study the Bible to know and understand what his will is about things. And if you don't know, you have to keep studying. And Jesus, the Lord says, seek me and you'll find me if you seek me with all of your heart. And we know it's a gift that not everyone wants to read the Bible and not everybody wants to pursue God. And it's a gift to be. I can't remember if there's things, there's two places in the Bible, one's in Psalm, but about being blessed to be chosen to come to him. It's a gift to be chosen to come to him because not everyone is even drawn. So it's abiding, it's continuing and to abide, it's learning, continuing to learn and expand your mind. We keep learning. You are what you think, and we keep learning. Somebody thinks you know it all, they don't know it all,
That's
right?
right.
If you think you know it all now, you're deceived because we're supposed to keep growing. Like you said, your cells renew and all that memory that's still there. You still have everything. I can't remember where maybe you, Michael, or it was David or both of you or somebody was saying that everything that you has happened to you have memory of. You just don't know. You don't remember things, but it's still there. And God can bring those things back to your remembrance. I know there's things we want to forget, and we want to forget the things that lie behind us, and bad things and our sin nature and all that. We forget those things. So yeah, so you just keep reading the Word of God and let God, and by the power of the Spirit, He
Okay,
renews our mind.
let me make the question a little bit more focused. How do we renew our mind to where we've got nothing but Jesus on our mind all the time, instead of these strongholds that keep coming up in our mind? What you think on all of the time and what you speak about all the time is what's in your mind. So how can we get from that area of our walk to the area of renewing our mind with the Word of God? And Julie hinted on it, but you have to know certain things about strongholds and how to get rid of them. And there's certain things you can do to do that. Pat, go ahead.
So, I think the first, obviously, the first step is in verse one. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable, holy or separated for God's use, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. And obviously, so you have to be, excuse me, you have to realize that your life is for a purpose, that God created you with a purpose in mind. And that purpose is doing something. In James, he says, be ye doers of the word, not just hearers only. So, there is that aspect of hearing, reading, seeing the truth. But this place of, in verse 2, where Paul says, be not fashioned according to this world, is not necessarily meaning, because quite frankly, we come from we originate in the fashion of this world. And that being not fashioned is not saying, don't be, from where you're here now, what you are now, don't become fashioned like that world, like the world. He's saying, don't remain a part of the fashion of this world. Do not remain there. Be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed. We pointed out before, that's a metamorphosis. And I think, the greatest, or the example of metamorphosis, when I hear that, I mean, that's, I think, the word or term or description from a caterpillar that, crawled around in the dirt and on the ground, or whatever. And at some point in their life, formed, went to sleep, formed a cocoon, went to sleep, the metamorphosis, or that process of transformation, where they came out of that cocoon and became a butterfly, and were set free to fly off. So it's a perfect, wonderful example of what that word, what Paul means by that word, be ye transformed, metamorphosed by the renewing of your mind. And what is the renewing of your mind? I'm not sure if this is what you're asking, Michael, but I'm gonna just say what's on my heart, my mind, and that is, how do we renew our mind? By what Julie was saying, taking the word. One of the biggest ways, or greatest ways, is taking the word, and that relates to Jesus and his life, his expression, his words, his conversation to the disciples, his example, his authority, taking his life, and always holding it up in comparison, I guess you might say, of what we are experiencing, what I'm experiencing, what I'm living. And if it is not the same, then I need to find in his word, I need to find out what Jesus was believing, connected to what he was saying. Because if I can find out what Jesus was believing, and I can compare what he believes, compared it with what I'm currently believing, which is probably some sort of an inheritance thinking or philosophy or whatever that I received either from, through the bloodline, the nature that I received from my parents, or from society around me, or the constant 24/7 internet and social media and whatever else that's always pouring in, constantly justifying functioning in the ways of the world as opposed to the ways of Jesus. And anyway, when I am able to see the difference, when I'm able to recognize that there's a difference there, then I need to start searching and seeking the word so that I can understand what Jesus believed, what's different than what I'm believing. And then as I discover what Jesus believed, what the word of God says, then I have to willingly make a decision that what I believe is incorrect, what I currently believe is not correct, is not right. What I need to believe is what Jesus believes, and therefore I'm going to believe. I choose rather to believe what he said and turn my back on what I was given, or I was born with, what I, what is what I can clearly see is a position or a thinking of the world. And when that happens, I'm about ready to get onto first base. Because then, when you get on first base, when you make the commitment, no, this is what I'm believing because this is true. Let God be true and every man a liar. So there's a good possibility that if it contradicts what Jesus said or what the Word of God clearly shows, then I am trusting in what man said in some form or another. And then what it says, the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good. Because then, as James said, we have to prove it. We have to do it. And in the doing of that word is where I believe we start to see those inner resistances or inner strongholds of thinking and thoughts and whatever else it would be that rise up to the surface when we're trying to do that word that we know is truth. And it comes against our flesh. It comes against and there's a resistance there. And then that is the resistance that we need to come against, and with the truth, with that portion of truth. And that's when God said to those Jews, Jesus said to those Jews which believed in him, truly, you are my disciples if you continue in my word, not hear it and run off and clap your hands and praise the Lord and whatever, and then turn your back on it. If you continue in it, and if you continue in that word of God, it will drag you through the resistance of your own flesh. And that as that resistance raises up, and you're able to take the word of God and the sword and start to cut the legs out of them, and like Lord said that we Paul said, we fight not, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the spirits and the powers and the authorities in the heavens, in the heavenly. And they use these little things in our thinking, in our life, to try to keep us back and pull us back. But as we continue in that, with the fact that we are a living sacrifice, we have been bought with a price. We don't have the right to turn back. We don't have the right. We've been bought with a price. And as we continue on in that truck and in that proving and proving and making sure and weeding this stuff out, not only does it come out and leave us, and that we, as Jesus said, you will continue in my word and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And when that truth makes you free, Christ is unleashed in you, and they that are free in Christ, another verse that we're not sure where it's at, ye are free indeed. You are set free. When the truth sets you free, you don't have to battle. You don't have the battle of trying to get free. You're free. You can't be controlled. You can't be captivated. You're free. At least in that area of your life. And the temptations that may come related to where you were have no effect on you, because you're standing in freedom. You're free from the bonds. You're free from all those little those things that want to tie you down. And that is only exposed and revealed in us as we continue to prove and continue to do his word, and allow that in that perfect patience to do its perfecting work in us, and make that happen in us. And when we are able to do that, we prove and we settle into that life of Jesus within us, which is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God, to rest in him and to live in him and have our eyes and our mind now is set free to rest in Jesus. So anyway, I think I'm through rattling.
No, that was good. That's good. The thing that we have to remember to do is, when we commit ourselves and surrender ourselves to the Lord, not to give up. That's what a lot of people do. They give up in their quest to renew that mind, and to get distracted. When we go ahead and stay with it, stay with it, stay with it, that's when the stronghold starts coming out. And then not only the strong, those bad strongholds, but good strongholds start making in there. And that's when you start remembering those verses that you have put in here to keep you focused on what the Lord wants you to do. Andrew, I saw you and Ben had your hand up a while ago. Did you want to go ahead and, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I kind of had something to say, but Pat was kind of going along and I wasn't sure where it was going to end up. It was good, Pat. That's nothing bad at all. It was great, actually, because in my readings, I'm in the book of Ephesians right now. It's a good book. I'd recommend it. It's very much an encouraging one. You are seated in heavenly places, and we receive all the blessings of Christ. And yeah, we receive all that by faith, but to truly manifest all those things, something that is being kind of shown to me is that verse talks about in Corinthians where it says, "My power is to make perfect in weakness." And what's this power is the manifestations that's talked about in Ephesians, where we are seated in heavenly places and where this authority that we have is actually manifested properly in this weakness. David talked about the wilderness on Sunday, and it was super great because I haven't studied that in a very long time, so it was a really good refresher for me. My power is made perfect in weakness. You could also say, my power is made perfect when I'm in the wilderness. We need to be in this wilderness walk in order to manifest the man that is seated in heavenly places. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus toward you. Quench not the spirit. How do you quench the spirit? By not being in the wilderness. You can't be this heavenly seated person if you're comfortable in Babylon, because you don't need the spirit. You got your TV. You got your doctors, you got your distractions, you got all those things. You're quenching the spirit if you get comfortable. I'm not trying to condemn anybody when they're doing stuff or they're going through something or they still need to be delivered from something. But to have this true manifestation of everything that's described in Ephesians, in my opinion, be comfortable in this wilderness walk. See it as, all these verses are coming in my head. I just don't know how to say it really, but like Paul rejoiced in his wilderness because not only did he know it was beneficial for him, but it was beneficial for the church. So that's a whole different thing that you can get into. But to have this inward man or this newly transformed man to be manifested through you, it's the process of repentance, because that's to me is a transforming word. You are no longer the man you no longer I that live, but it is Christ that liveth within me. That's the metamorphosis, I guess you could say, is me, the Babylon man, is no longer alive, but I am metamorphosized into the newly inward man that it thrives in the wilderness, not just suffers and complains like the Israelites did in Moses' day, but thrives in the wilderness. Like how, what's that book? Escape from Christendom. At the end of that book, he was thriving, and not only thriving, but getting other people and other Christians to thrive with him and growing ministry and growing the kingdom of heaven on earth. There, that's what I'm saying. Be
Very
comfortable
good.
in it. Let's all learn. We got to learn how to do that because a big one's coming. So let's at least try and plead to God for that now.
One thing,
One thing,
wait a minute,
wait a minute, y'all
y'all
need to mute.
Nope.
I don't know why it's doing that. Anyway, you hit right on it. You have to stay with it. You can't leave it. Not only that, what was I thinking about while you were talking? You need to reinforce it every day. Reinforce who you are in Christ every day. I read somewhere where you can put something in your memory, and if you don't go back to it within 8 hours, it's gone. And so we need to continually be putting the Word of God in there. And just like Andrew said, yeah, confession unto salvation, Judy said. That's exactly right. The Word tells us to confess it, confess it, confess it. And as you're reading the Word, I would read it out loud. That's what I do. I read it out loud so it goes into my memory bank. I understand that. Ephesians, yeah, you're right. Ephesians is a great book. Tells you whose you are. Praise God. All right, Pat.
So as Ben was talking, he spoke there about 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and I want to just say that this verse here, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Do you word then Ben read the next verse, quench not the spirit. And then when you go down, keep reading, despise not prophesying, and verse 21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from every form of evil. There's the division, right? There's a deciding thing. That's that's where you see that which is good, prove it, walk out in it, and then abstain from every form of evil that gets stirred up regarding that, and hold fast to that which is good. But the thing, one of the things that I found very beneficial, and I have to thank Harry. She gave a testimony on Signal here a week ago or something. I don't remember, and she mentioned that she had some deliverance in her life, and it was as a result of giving God thanks for all of the bad things, so-called bad things that happened to her in her life. In her testimony, you can read it. I kind of wish you would come on and maybe talk about that, because it was a very beneficial and good testimony of release, and just how God uses thanks, thanksgiving to Him. And I likewise found this one of the, I'm going to say, one of the most important, one of the most important tools for focusing my heart upon God in all circ in whatever circumstance I'm in. And I found, and I hope I'm not belaboring this whole thing, but I found that here it says, in everything give thanks, pray without ceasing, rejoice always, in everything give thanks. That means everything. But I think it means everything. The good and the bad, everything that touches your life, give thanks to God. And what that did for me is the Lord gave me, I guess, trained me in that point in time when he revealed this to me, is I realized that when you're in the midst of a, say, an emotional or a confrontational or combative, or you're in a situation when you are tempted to react and blow up and react and get angry or do whatever, that if you're able to cultivate the presence of mind to, in your spirit, hesitate and simply look to God and thank God for this influence that's coming into your life. And when I noticed, and let me just say, I found it impossible to do. When the Lord first started showing me that, I found it absolutely impossible to do, because I found myself constantly, after the fact, after the explosion, after the reaction, later on, would see that where I was wrong, I would repent, and then I'd give God thanks for it. Thank you for this thing that you brought into my life, or thank you for allowing what I caused in my life by my actions or whatever. It literally, I believe it literally doesn't matter. God's sovereign over it all, and you are free and completely correct in giving him thanks for it all, no matter what it is. But anyway, as I learned to become aware of this and start to cultivate my mind to start to give him thanks in the midst of this condition, the midst of this whatever it was coming against me, or at least coming against my mind, what it does is it separates your focus from the thing, from the attack or whatever it is, from the thing that is threatening to make you mad or angry or whatever, and it automatically turns your heart towards the one who has the ability to change it, to the one that is allowing it into your life for his good purpose. He's doing something in you through this environment, through this the context of this struggle in some form or another. God is alive, and you are able to confirm that by thanking him, giving him thanks for this condition and this thing that's in your life, good or bad. Because obviously the scripture says that God makes all things work together for good. He doesn't say that all things are good. He says he makes all things work together for good in your life and in my life. And when I was able to learn how to do that. It separated me from the it separated me from the immediate need to react and gave me pause and time to consider how to respond instead of react. And I'm going to tell you that was so beneficial to me, at least at the time. Number one, because most of my reactions against these conditions made the condition worse. I was my personally my own worst enemy. And it's like the scripture says, even if you learn just to keep your mouth shut, you're considered people at least consider you wise, you know. You may not be wise, but you're not letting them know you're not, you know. But anyway, and so the benefits of that that hesitation allows it number one, it takes your focus off of the issue, the problem. It no longer it relegates it subservient to the one who has the control and the power over that thing, and put your mind and your focus upon him, where the provision is to overcome. And it's David's teaching on sovereign God all over the place, you know. And that became a tool. It's a tool that we can, that we can use. That no matter where we're at, what condition we're in, what situation we're in, thanking God, giving him thanks. And I think another thing that is important to understand, that to realize that he said, give him thanks. He didn't say, be thankful. And that's an important thing. It, because if you're trying to fake being thankful, you're going to be fake. You're going to be, it's not going to be real. He doesn't say be thankful. He says give him thanks, sacrifice of praise. It's a sacrifice. Give it to give him. You feel thankful? No, I don't feel thankful. Thank him. Thank him, even if you don't feel thankful. And it literally captivates. He takes your mind off of the immediate irritation and puts it upon him, where all the source of power and truth and life is. And so if you haven't read Terry's testimony, I hope that maybe one day she can come on and share it. But I think there's a whole lot more to that than just that the small blurb that she put in the Signal app. But anyway, I wanted to say that is one of those tools that we can utilize in this process of walking out, working out, proving that which is good in the word, and learning to choose the good and cast off the evil, etc. So anyway, I just wanted to say that.
Amen. All right, anybody else? Oh, Lake said, mind renewal is getting rid of all the unbelief so that you will not be double-minded and can walk in pure faith. So what we have to do is get rid of the bad stuff and replace it with the good stuff. And that's a daily thing. That's the big thing right there. When you have the mind of Christ, what is it that you have? You have Christ's thoughts in you, don't you? All the time. So that's why we have to stay in it all the time. And it's I read this when studying all this stuff. I read this that most people, when they strike out on wanting to surrender to God and stuff, they last 4 days. And then after the fourth day, they kind of slack off a lot. I can see that in my own life. It's what you want the most that determines who you want to be. Do you want to be like Christ? Do I want to be like Christ? Well, if I want to be like Christ, I have to study Christ. And that's not something that you do every now and then. That should be the utmost. I'm talking about myself now. I'm learning this, that it has to be everything in me going after Christ when I go after Christ. It can't be, okay, I'm going to give him an hour today. Or I'm going to give him, I give him an hour after I watch my YouTube stuff. Or watch the news or watch the weather or whatever it is that distracts us. Do y'all agree with this? That you have, if you're going to walk like Christ and you're going to have your mind renewed and you want to surrender it all, then that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to surrender it all. And Lord, I repent for not surrendering at all. I want to surrender it all, and I want you to put it in. Look, this verse here in Romans 12 and 2, that's some stuff that we have to do. You look at it. It's not something that God's going to do in us. Yeah, Missy.
I was just thinking about what you're saying, but we have to do it. But on the other hand, it's still God's grace. So it's like asking, Lord, like we've heard David say, give me the want to,
He'll do it.
It's like really apart from him, I can do nothing. So Lord, put the want to in all of us, Lord.
Amen.
And remind us to always ask you, to always want to be hungering and thirsting for you, Father. Remind us of that all the time, to just be always asking you, Lord, to just help us, Lord. Give us the grace to lay everything down and put you first above all else. Take everything else out of our hearts that has nothing to do with the kingdom, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Lord, I just ask that if we place it in everybody's heart, that you place it in everybody's heart to every morning when they get up, is to ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit that can lead you and guide you into that. And we praise you, Father, for that in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And so we have things to do ourselves in this. It's not just God's going to do it. We have to discipline ourselves to do these things. As for, well, that's just what is the mind of Christ? I just said here, like I said, the Bible personified. That's exactly right, isn't it? Can y'all hear me? Okay. I must be on a great delay because I'm talking and then 5 or 6 seconds later I can hear you, I can see you. Yeah, Missy. See?
Julie put in the chat, I think she said, the power of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost or something.
Power
And
of the Holy Spirit, yeah.
what came to me is, the anointing breaks the yoke, the yoke of the old man, the yoke of the world, anything that has us in bondage. Anointing breaks anything that has power over us. It just makes me think of, it says in Ephesians, not Ephesians, Romans 6 is one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. It says, you're the servant of whom you obey. Something to that effect.
Oh gosh,
Lord,
thank
we
you,
only live as
Jesus.
servants of you, Lord. Thank you,
Amen.
Lord.
All right, Judy, go ahead.
I guess I was thinking, you're saying is like we have to be diligent. We have to, do this, but it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit can we do it. We need to ask God, like you said, to be filled with the Holy Spirit every day, because that we of ourselves, we can't do it. I can't be diligent enough by myself. I get distracted. I got things going on in my life, and you all do too. So it's like, but God knows that too, that, we have things we have to do every day, and that is still important to put him first. And we just need, Father, we just need your grace to do it. We need your help. We need your strength. We need your leading. We need your diligence in us and the power of your spirit, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So help us, Lord, to be mindful. Bring back to remembrance things, even, if it's songs in the morning when we wake up, when I wake up, sometimes he'll put a song in my mind. So I'll go to play that song and sing it, and just get my mind focused on where it should be first thing, and still try to stay in the rest, because it's not my works, not that the enemy twists things and condemn me for what I'm not, or what I didn't do, or you didn't do that. You should have done that, and you spent all this time, blah 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 blah. We know how our enemy works, so we have to keep the armor on, and we have to use it, and we have to be, in the strength of the Lord, we put on the armor of God. So it's even in God's strength, the Lord Jesus, it's in his strength we do anything and everything. So we just need to be mindful of that. And ask for God's grace and his help, to help us to do it and to be like him, because we can't do it in our own strength. And by his, it's by his grace we are saved through faith. And we are overcomers. We overcome everything because Jesus already showed us the way. And it's humbling ourselves, and it is discipline, and it is all these things. And it's just being able to go to God and say, I need help doing this. God, look at this. I've got all these distractions. I've got this, and I want to be here, and I want to do this. But, you lead me and help me, and turn everything else off. Amen. More of you, Jesus. More power. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. More power to stay in your word. More power to believe and understand the word. More power, Lord, to get the more of the word in us. More power to do all of that stuff, Lord. I've read some stuff here from Lake, and it's just awesome. Unbelief is not just it's not just not believing. Unbelief is believing the wrong thing. Also, how many of you are willing to do this to renew your mind with the mind of Christ, to renew your mind like Christ wants it renewed? I guess is what I should say. Yeah, I'm willing. And Lord, make me able. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Yeah, Andrew, I'll get you in a minute, Missy.
There's some verses there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where it says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him. He's not coming twice there. We know that one's coming in his people, and the other is coming for his people. But ye be not soon shaken in mind, nor be troubled by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ be on, Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. But if you mix those verses, it goes on because they don't love the truth around the 11th verse there. So if you're not going to love the truth, then who do you love? Anyways, he warns us that we'll be able to see this. And when therefore you see the abomination of desolation standing, as spoken of in Daniel, standing in a holy place, let him that readeth understand. When you see the abomination, well, there is an abomination that leadeth to desolation, but this abominations are blasphemies in action, and to have these fornications or vanities is not allowed. You see, so we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. You know, so if it's a continual progress with you, now we beseech you, brethren. The beseeching is also over there in the verse that we read. You know, it is by the mercy of God that we increase in Christ. And these beseeching verses is a beseeching in the Word of God. Because it's yes, they're the church fathers, these apostles, that ask us of these things, but they got it from Christ, and Christ still gets it from the Father and transfers it to us, because we go to God through Christ, as it says in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, and where it tells you to go through the inner man to the Lord and beseech him for these things. And of course, it's a place you've entered, and it's a continual feast with him. We know that because he stands at your door and knocks. And if you open the door to him, you have a continual feast with him, and that continual bread of God. And that's what you want. That's what you meditate on in your spare time. I would warn people, however, that you can get an intense meditation or just depend on God. If you have physical work to do, you can be, and it's repetitive, you can do both together. But if you're in a desk all the time, you have to use your mental capacities as to what you're doing more. And I could see how a person who has to use his mind and people who have to use their speech, you know, can be speaking too quickly, you know. And, you know, there's a lot of speaking you have to do to be a government worker, a president, a minister in the House of Commons or in your Senate, and to be a judge or a lawyer, you know, to speak words that have to coincide with God's word, even those highfalutin people. And also there's another pulpit there, not just government, but or justice, but there's the religious aspect, the minister's pulpit. You better get it right. Because they have to figure out what that means to deny the master who bought them. And if you're going to tell them they're still sinners after they're saved, then you got a problem there. Then there's the professors and teachers. They've got pulpits there too. And there's the media. They're right in front of you, in your face. You can turn them off. You know, you have control over those words. But, you know, every word read And there are words that are read that kind of rob people. Are robbery. You get robbed and you don't even know you're being robbed. Some are really intelligent professors and stuff, and they got robbed. We're approaching the, for me, I was telling Ben this earlier, I'm in my 60s. It's the fourth generation, I think, since evolution came out. And I can't remember some, being cursed to four generations. And I'm going, well, what's going on here, you know? And the fifth generation better get it right. And of course, you know, if you're going to witness something, if some voice is going to come out of your mouth, and it's not what the Lord would speak, then why would you speak it? And then there's the media, and then there's the people who want a pulpit. And, you know, everyone has an ability to share the glory of God. God gives us glory. You know, there's seven lights there in that lamp that you have. And he speaks about the lamp in the book of Revelation. And I believe, I like what it says in Isaiah chapter 11. He gives a behavior to each one of the, a point to each one of these lights, like knowledge and wisdom, the fear of the Lord and the Spirit of God and the strength of the Lord and the understanding of the Lord and the teaching of the Lord. Everyone can teach, but not everyone is that teacher position. And these glories have to be shared within fellowship, and these glories have to be shared with family members, and these glories should be shared, and they should be easily entreated. You don't have to twist your arm to get it into them. Mind you, though, when some kids are kids, you know, they need a spanking every once in a while, or a bar of soap. Maybe that's why you're always on the soapbox, Michael. I don't know why they call it the soapbox. I don't know. I'm trying to figure that one out. But you get cleaned by it anyway, so that's good. And praise and glory to God. And it's just, you know, if we're gonna be beseeched by the Apostle Paul and take it from Paul as if Paul was still alive today, then that would be a good thing. Or Jesus himself, you know. Can't remember now. I was trying to figure out those verses to try and give a good answer for this chapter 12 verse from Romans, because the Lord had a response from someone. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And the second is like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the Lord answered him and said, thou hast answered right. Do this, and thou shalt live. And this was a long time before he could have been given the blood of the Lamb Jesus Christ or to have the Holy Spirit in him. But if he took it for what the word he said and to have the Holy Spirit on him, because he was a covenant person, he could have progressed from there. And I think this time of rendition, the Gospels are sometimes there portions that are missed. You know, and I don't know if people are not going in proper detail. The John chapter 3, where they mention born again, but you know, this is a born again, and yet the blood has to be added to this. They had their spirit and their word, as it says there, and these are wonderful witnesses. But we know this to be a regeneration to Christ, a born again to Christ, and into the likeness of Christ. You know, the various chapters there of Romans 6, Ephesians chapter 2, of creation in Titus chapter 3 for regeneration. But, you know, those are the born again verses because they're after the cross and resurrection. And born again needs the blood to overcome and the spirit. He speaks of the way, the truth, and the life. But how can they have the way, the truth, and life until the life is given for them? So that's John 14. So we take this across that cross, not. It's like a bridge. Billy Graham used to say it was a bridge. You got to make it across the cross, and to have that way, truth, and life is wonderful for the Jews and the Gentiles, because they needed to be in that upper room. They needed to come to that understanding. And our baptism is a water baptism we went through to get into that newness of life. Everything's in that newness of life when you come out of the water. The potential of everything there, yes, but is God gonna leave you orphan? You know, he should know by the elders that of the church that there is a progression to this too. And but to start and to progress, you know, you make a fumble the ball upon. And I wonder sometimes when you do fumble what. That the Lord has to go, oh no, got to leave the 99 again and go find the one that's needing correction. Is he totally lost to be a prodigal son and come to your senses? Well, who did that? Because only the Lord can draw you. And my hope is that a lot of the people come to their senses. In this end time, we have loved ones that we prayed for a lot. Sometimes you just get really tired, do you know? And I want the Lord take them everywhere you go. But, you know, you see the people. Like we were saying, what lesson did the Lord just have for us now from what just recently happened? I didn't know this gentleman. Sounds like a nice guy. But what about all the other people before? Well, from the time of the cross and resurrection of Jesus to this day. There's a lot of people there. There is a mixed mixture in the church that has to be one again. And we have to get back to the seven ones of Ephesians 4 and 4 to 4 and 6. And to recognize what position a person's at, which you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And that is a work that's in God's hands. We're God's worship. No, I'm just glad he's an almighty God. I'm glad to have a father that would spank me. And I'm glad I have a father that would show me what he wants and that he loves me. For God so loved the world. He's long suffering too, you know. And long suffering is one of the fruits of the Spirit. But it encourages me that he's long suffering, but he also puts that long suffering in us to the point where he wants us to long suffer. and to overcome everything comes from Lord. We are told it is finished, but we know that our progression has to go that extra pace of to conform to what we see in the scripture. And whether we're the youth in the third floor rafters, or whether we're a Stephen, whether we're the person who saw Stephen being stoned and go, wow, you know, he's a man of God. You know, people saw that. You know, I could picture a young Christian youth looking at this, and maybe even just a child, and say, Mom, isn't that Stephen? You know, what's going on here? And it sort of puts me in a position that grounds me where I am at. And just how much more I could be in Christ. And of course, this beseeching is like any parent would do. Any grandpa or great grandpa, if you're blessed that much. You know, y'all have brothers and sisters, you know. Used to go fishing with them when you were younger and stuff. And I think God knows that you have daughters and sons and son-in-laws, family. And my prayer is that the Lord would help them, and that He would call them, draw them, save them, grant them repentance, give them grace. Help me, Lord. Lead me, God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
That's a natural fact. You have to unmute before people can hear you. Oh, gosh. Okay. Anyone else? I think mostly mind renewal is a heart thing. You got to want to do it. And the Lord and the Holy Spirit can help you. But it's got to be something that you make up your mind that you're going to do. It's just like when you were in high school, if you can remember that far back, and you wanted to do something back then, well, you just went ahead and did it. Like if you wanted to play a flute in a band, or you wanted to play football or whatever. I know you girls don't play football. Well, you might. I don't know. But it's Lord, make it an obsession in our hearts to run after you and to want to put Jesus in us. And the way to put Jesus in us is to learn who He is and how He is and what we are in you. We want to be the branch that gets from the vine, takes from the vine. And Father, we just praise you and thank you for that. Glory be to God. Yeah, Julie.
Oh, just something that has come into my mind a few times. And so I just think I'm supposed to share it, but you know, our mind is part of our soul. You know, the soul is the mind, will, and emotions, and the intellect. And we're supposed to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our strength, with all of our mind, I think, is how that's worded. So. And it's still something He does in us. It's all His gift. We can't take credit for any of it. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to obey you and love you and stay in your word. And I think part of it is too, is, you know, desiring God to give you that hunger and thirst for him. At least that's been my prayer, to continue to give me a hunger and a thirst for the word. Amen.
The way I would think of it was like this. If you totally give everything to the Lord and run after Him with all your heart, think of the benefits of the joy, the peace in your heart. Think of all of those benefits. And not only that, you have the protection of God. You don't, not only that, you'll be able to help other folks. Not only that, the love that Christ has put in your heart, you is the light that people will see in you or see in us. Ain't that right, Debbie? Amen. I'm just checking, huh? All right. Anybody else got anything they'd like to share? We got 1 minute. I'm gonna ignore her because she's gonna go more in a minute. Go ahead, Missy. Go ahead, Missy. I'm just kidding you.
Way back when you said, I'm willing, what came to me was, it's in two places in the Gospels, but it says the same. Watch and pray that you enter not in temptation. The spirit
Amen.
indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.
Where is
That's
that?
Matthew 26:41 and Mark 14:38.
And Mark what?
14:38.
14:38. Okay, good. That's a good one. That's a good one to learn.
Watch and pray.
Look at this crazy. You ain't supposed to do that when I push the button down. I got tape all over and it's still trying to mess up. Are you sorry up bit?
Time to get a new one.
Yeah, time to get a new one. All right. Well, Lord, we thank you for this wonderful night. I enjoyed tonight. I really did. And Father God, I just thank you for placing it in all our hearts to do this, renewing our mind to the mind of Christ. And that's what it is. It'll eliminate a lot of doubt and unbelief, and it'll eliminate a lot of hold back. It'll make us bold in our faith. And Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. Y'all be blessed.